Hi, this is Jim Cook, the brewer and founder of Samuel Adams, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
For September 1st, 2015. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflung.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. September 1st, Chip. You know what that means? Do you have any idea what September 1st means in my head?
Pumpkin spice?
Oh, no, not pumpkin spice. No pumpkin spice. But you're in the right color. Oktoberfest.
Oh, excellent.
You heard in the introduction, Jim Cook, the founder of Samuel Adams, and I were hanging out in a bar last week.
Oh, and there you go. Hey, Foda, do some dancing. Bring out the Bavarian food.
And they had Oktoberfest beer from Sam Adams. I picked up a half a case and I had him autograph it. It was so exciting.
Oh, how awesome. How awesome.
We don't talk about food and drink too often on this show, but Oktoberfest is special.
Oktoberfest is a great time.
Love it. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and I actually got to see some movies this week.
You watched movies?
I watched a French movie called The Intouchables. This is from 2011, so it's a little bit older film, but is a really touching tale of a kid, a youth who is struggling with his lifestyle, and he accidentally gets a job with a quadriplegic millionaire, and they learn about life and struggles and how to find joy. It's a really good one. I really recommend it. Even though it's in French, you have to read it. That's okay.
Okay, okay.
And I watched Star Wars.
You watched Star Wars?
Of course I watched Star Wars.
This is to prepare for the movies coming up.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I'm not watching any of the trailers for the new movies.
Okay.
I saw the first one. Mm-hmm. I tried not to watch it. I haven't seen any of the other trailers.
They released something this week, like a little scene or something.
They can
it really
release
was
whatever they want. Before okay. December 15th, I'm not watching it.
Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah. No. I'm not even looking at the toys. We have a story come up in the news about the toys. But I'm not even looking at the toys because I don't want to be spoiled on this movie. The way I look at it, it's kind of like when your favorite musician comes out with a new album. The mm-hmm. new album's exciting. It's a new album.
Sure.
But it might pale in comparison to those albums that you love.
Well, I need to be very clear on this. You watched Star Wars, but you did not watch the officially released edition.
I don't watch the officially released editions anymore because so many people have made their own editions. This one that I watched was the revisited edition.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the combination of all of the best parts of the original and the good parts of the special edition, taking out all the really frustrating parts of the special edition.
Was Jabba the Hutt in this one?
Jabba the Hutt is not in Star Wars.
Okay.
You can look that up. Jabba the Hutt is not in Star Wars. The Han shot first. All of the things that were mm-hmm. in the 1977 release of Star Wars are in this revisited version. And the sound is better,
okay.
and the video is better. And none of those extra things are in there.
So he cleaned it up.
This guy, and I don't know the man's name, I should probably look it up, he made this the best edition of Star Wars he could make. Just what George Lucas was trying to do with the special editions.
Sure.
George Lucas, he made a movie called The Special Edition. I watched it. I paid money to go see it in the theater. It has some problems.
There is a reason why artists should not revisit their works once they've put it out there.
I agree. You saw some movies, too.
I did. I actually saw two movies that were kind of related. One I saw this week through Netflix, the Netflix fairy. I Dream of Wires, the modular synthesizer documentary, which if you're an engineer, totally up your alley right there. This is the analog synthesizers that were produced back in the 70s and how they had a resurgence to them. This very much talked a lot about the beginning of the computer era, and it talked a lot about those big monster computers you can think about. Well, those synthesizers, where one group took it and became the personal computer or something of that nature, another group took it and tried to make music out of it, and this is about their story.
Very cool.
It is interesting. There are different Theories on Cranium. One, on the East Coast, they do not put keyboards to them. They're plugging them in through wires. On the West Coast, they decided they were going to plug in keyboards. They're going to use more traditional notes and system. This was actually came out of the punk era that we'll talk about in a second. But the punks felt that the synthesizer, the early sounds of it, certainly weren't, you know, brash enough or anything of that nature. So as one of the people that's interviewed in this documentary talked about, he goes, they criticize us for not, you know, being avant-garde enough. But what are you? You're using the most traditional of instruments. Well, I shouldn't say traditional. The electric guitar and a drum. You're very conservative in your approach, but you're just, you know, whatever you're...
Angry. Just you know, punk.
They had a lot of interviews on this. The sound of this analog synthesizer went out of fashion fairly quickly with the introduction of the inexpensive Japanese keyboards that we probably can remember from your youth.
Everybody in my class had a Casio keyboard. We were all trying to find that sound. Do you remember that episode of Friends where Ross is sitting there with his electronic keyboard and this is the sound? That's what I think of when I hear synthesizers.
That may be very well what this was talking about, but the sounds were very limited on these, sure. While there's thousands of sounds you can produce on them. Mm-hmm. And it talked about the going back to the original, and if you think about this analog synthesizer sound, a lot of it was this dreamy, spacey, crazy sound.
Sounds from space.
Exactly. What we need is Ken Norton to do a little over, a little bit over on this. Can you hear that sound? It comes out of the other speaker. We're jazz. I mean, definitely on the case of that. But it eventually, as rock faded, we got the re-rise of dance music, the house sounds, and which brings us to the next movie, which I saw a couple weeks ago. It's called 24 Hour Party People, and this was about Tony Wilson and his creation of Factory Records. And you're looking at me like, who is Factory Records? Well, you may know Factory Records because of bands like Joy Division, New Order, Happy Mondays, things of that nature, who came out of the 70s and then kind of really came into their own as part of New Wave in the 80s. In fact, New Order is bringing out a new album just a couple of weeks from now. So it's you know, we're still dealing with a lot of that. He opened a club during that time called the Hacienda. You name a band, there's no doubt that they played there, from the Smiths to, I'm assuming the Cure did. I know the New Order did. They never could make money on it. This is a I shouldn't call it a documentary. This is based on a lot of truth with a lot of not truth in there. And so there's lots of scenes where things are going on and the real person who another person is playing is in that same scene.
As a cameo, yeah.
So there's a lot of fun to this. You will learn a lot. It all started at a Sex Pistols show in 76. And the number of producers that came out of that, the number of musicians, there was only, I can't remember how many, 25, 70 people, maybe less, at this show. But it was pretty incredible. In fact, it was less, because they showed a big shot of it. And they showed what every one of these people, where they turned up. And
wow.
So I recommend 24 Hour Party People. That's from a movie from 2002, if you've never seen it.
I have never seen this, and it looks like something that I would watch. I do love, this is a British film. I do
it
love
is.
British films, you know that. This one features Steve Coogan, and John Sim is in there, and also an Andy Serkis.
Yeah,
without a monkey head on.
Well, anyway, I recommend it. The Dream of Wires is, if you've got an engineering or a historical history of computers that you're interested in, definitely something to watch. And there is whole groups of people. They get together, little conventions, mm-hmm. who this is exactly what they go through. They're trying to find these old machines or kind of keep them moving, and they're trying to produce music. And there's the gentleman from Depeche Mode is in it. And he said, eventually you got to stop buying this crap and you got to start putting together music because you can spend yourself into poverty.
Coming out this week, there's a couple of new movies. The first one is The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution.
excellent. Before I was kind of aware of stuff back in the late 60s when I was a baby, and my youth, the Black Panthers were, you know, thought of as almost like a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. They were definitely a result of the, you know, of the peaceful way that Martin Luther King wanted to go through things. And they're saying, no, this is not going to work. We need to fight for our rights.
I mean, need a revolution.
Yeah, you know, Black Power definitely was part mm-hmm. of this. And this is a documentary that describes that era from the people who are part of that era, who are looking back on that time as older people. So, you know, if you read a book when you're in your teens and you got to revisit that book through your older eyes, then you may recognize there's a different way of looking at it. My gut says that there's going to be some real, you're going to really get to understand that era from those people's firsthand accounts. And one of the, if you watch the preview of it, the trailer, the one of the guys goes, and people didn't like him because he was crazy. And he was crazy! But there was something that they were fighting during that time for a lot of the stuff that we can still see going on today. So
still fighting for equality today.
Mm-hmm. Well, it truly is.
We've gotten a lot better, but there's still so many things that need to be solved.
On the world,
we've
gotten better as mm-hmm. far as everything.
Mm-hmm.
But. Still, there's issues going on, and I think that this will be a great place to revisit those and to revisit and kind of check yourself.
Sounds like a great PBS documentary. I love those PBS documentaries, and this one is definitely one that I will put on my list. Also, on my list of documentaries that I'm going to catch in the next couple of days, there's a Steve Jobs documentary called Man in the Machine.
This is a very interesting release because the Jobs movie, Steve Jobs movie, that is the big one, the big budget one.
The big one, the one written by Aaron Sorkin. That's coming out in 30 days.
So this is sort of a prequel. This is where you get to see...
it's one of those coattail titles. A lot of studios, when they see something big is coming out, they make something very, very similar and put it out just a month before.
You get to see, once again, Steve Jobs, a very interesting person. Definitely got the best out of people and also discarded people.
Mm-hmm.
He had some very wonderful qualities and also some incredibly bad qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to kind of revisit it. And I think what you end up getting from this is that a person who impacted America and the world on such a grand scale was very human.
And this one's a documentary. This is not a bunch of actors pretending to be Steve Jobs. This is another one of those interviews with people in the know mm-hmm. kind of documentaries. And I like those.
And all three of the films we're talking about are limited release. Mm-hmm. You'll have to look for them if they even show up at your local theater.
Okay. So since you said where there's three films, let's get to the third one. This is... You find some interesting stuff some weeks, Chip. This was called Break Point, and every time I try to say it, I almost say Point Break. That's a different film. This one is the story of two estranged brothers reuniting to make an impossible run at a Grand Slam tennis tournament.
Well, we know your love of tennis. Now, this is a story about a gentleman who was on tour, actually a professional tennis player, wasn't doing particularly well. And his brother, who he played tennis with earlier in his life, basically as a teacher, I think he gets fired. I think I got that from the trailer. And J.K. Simmons is the father. So it's maybe a little whiplash coming on right there.
There you go. Whiplash meets tennis.
But anyway, this is a comedy, and it's a light comedy, and it looks like that there's going to be a lot of stupid fun stuff on
it. Are there any serious tennis movies? Has anyone ever made we're going to watch tennis now?
So you're looking for the Chariots of Fire of tennis movies.
Right.
Well, I'm assuming there has to be a film on Arthur Ashe or something like that.
We should look that up. Maybe we could do an all tennis episode.
We could wear white, just white, those white really
headbands.
Short shorts. That's right. We could all be John McEnroe, and you could be Jimmy Connors.
We could grunt like Serena Williams.
Raw. Exactly. Andre Agassi. I'm bald, so there we go. I can play Andre.
We know these characters from tennis, but I don't know the story of these characters. Maybe there needs to be some more tennis movies that are not silly comedies like this one. brings us to our appetite, our app of the week, and you have been starting to use an app called Scannable. This is made by Evernote, and Evernote is one of those apps that a lot of people use.
Sure, it's a place you can park stuff. You want to park recipes, you want to park work stuff, you want to park your bills, whatever you want to park, it's a good place to kind of put it there. Well, I go on a lot of meetings, and when I go to those meetings, I'm at places and I have personal documents that I don't necessarily want to take with me to go make copies or anything like that. I want to have the ability to take a picture of it and make it a PDF.
And amazingly, you can do that with your phone.
Yeah, and I've been using a number of different programs on this.
There's lots of them.
This is the latest one I've been using.
Okay.
And part of it's because it works with Evernote. This gave me a new appreciation of something that we should all consider. There may be great apps out there, but that ability to integrate with other apps...
The ubiquity of Evernote is definitely a big draw. I don't use Evernote. I really should. I live a paperless lifestyle. I almost never have paper in my hand, and I don't use Evernote. A lot of people really get a lot out of this app.
Well, what I also thought about using this for, and one of the things I always struggle with, is putting all those receipts together at the end of the month so I can turn them in to be reimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real challenge for me to kind of put together. It sounds like it shouldn't be a challenge. But if you're a business person, this is a good part. And part of, by the way, part of using American Express is that they kind of do it for you.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of services
but
that.
You want to use fewer apps to do the things you want to do in a way that is very natural for you.
Yep.
So this could be very important. And this does the same thing where it scans cards and all sorts of business cards and stuff like that. So.
And makes them into contacts. That was a really interesting feature that I looked at on the website. Mm-hmm. You can find all that information in our show notes. Brings us to our book of the week. And, I haven't watched very many movies. School started, but I am reading still. And I got through, finally, after almost a year, I finally got through Angel Killer, the first of the Jessica Blackwood novels by Andrew Main.
Tell me about this.
Oh, this is such a great concept. You might know Andrew Main. He is an illusionist, a magician, turned author and podcaster. He had a TV show on A&E last year called Don't Trust Andrew Main. He's one of the people that I listen to when I listen to podcasts. He's very entertaining and very intellectual magician. He wrote this novel. Jessica Blackwood was raised in a family of magicians. She was on stage at a very young age doing illusion.
Okay.
She decided to leave the family business and become an FBI agent. This is a very interesting twist. I'm not sure anybody has ever done family magician turned FBI agent. She's called in on a case where a murder has happened under very mysterious, very magical terms, and she needs to figure it out. It's a great murder mystery with a great twist.
I find magicians fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to... In fact, there was a documentary I watched a few weeks ago about The Amazing Randi. And the whole time, Houdini did this, Amazing Randi did it, spent time trying to debunk stuff that looked like it was special when it shouldn't have been special. So when you say, this is a person who is a magician who has gotten involved with the FBI to solve something.
To debunk some of these things that look like they're special. That's exactly the storyline.
Well, I find it fascinating. John Oliver just did a story on televangelists. Mm-hmm. The ones that claim they have special powers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've determined is they have radio earplugs in.
They have tricks. They are tricking the audience, just like an illusionist does.
And this is exactly what The Amazing Randi, the documentary, addressed. Anytime someone claims to be much more special than probably, you're getting right down to whether they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have a Penn and Teller who said you're going to and you're going for entertainment. It's another thing to go in and having something where it can be destructive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are much brighter than we were at any time in the past, but we still are gullible to certain things.
And we might be more gullible to things than we know.
And maybe this book is kind of talking a little bit
it's
about
great.
That.
It's great. It is a great book. I really recommend it. We do have it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. It is a really interesting twist on that murder mystery concept.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Brings us to our Now the News. Hey, there's food in the news. There was beer in the opening, and there's food in the news. This is the best show ever. The McWhopper is a thing. Well, McDonald's doesn't want it to be a thing, but Burger King really wants to make a sandwich that is both a McDonald's Big Mac and a Burger King Whopper.
Well, this is part of a national or international Peace Day, and the proposal was to have them set up one store only in Atlanta, not here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And on this one store, they would serve the McWhopper.
Special Burger Day.
Well, it's not just Special Burger. The idea is that if McDonald's and Burger King can have a peace for a day, what can we all do?
We can pour a half a Coke into a half a Pepsi, and it'll be all right.
And we'll take the Pepsi-Coke challenge?
We can use a Windows machine and a Macintosh on the same day.
So a ceasefire is the proposal. Burger King is all on this. I'm assuming that McDonald's at some point will say, all right, we'll do this.
Can we have an Icy and a Slurpee? There's so many things.
In a slushy cup. Can we have Star Wars and Star Trek playing at the same time?
No, that will never happen. No.
Captain Kirk just happens to show up. Darth Vader's there.
Now, that said, the comic book that is the crossover between Doctor Who and Star Trek was amazing.
Was it really?
Oh, it was great stuff. Cold Fusion gets a U.S. patent. It seems ridiculous, but somebody has made Cold Fusion and got himself a U.S. patent for that process.
I was reading about this guy named Rossi down in Raleigh, North Carolina. He had tried to get a patent a few times, and what ended up happening is he was unable to secure one. So he took out the Cold Fusion name to it. They were able to take his test and replicate his test in other places. So when we're talking about our energy needs and things of that nature, and we're talking about the free energy maybe Tesla was talking about, mm-hmm. you never know. So this was a technology that was thought to be able to be a game changer. They have not been able to get traction until this month when he was able to secure a patent. So there we go. We've got our first part. Hopefully we'll follow this and see how this kind of plays out over the next few years.
There you go. We're just in time for Back to the Future 2's anniversary when we have Mr. Fusion. The spy car. Oh boy, there's a spy car chip. There's a spy car. Allstate is working on the idea that your car can report back to your insurance company.
All right, so Allstate, when we typically think of Big Brother, we're thinking of big government. Think of 1984 and a pretty oppressive time. Big companies also scare us at times. Maybe they hit us in the psyche or something. And Allstate has a patent. They got it this month in August.
Mm-hmm.
And that patent allowed them to look through cameras and sensors at potential distractions to your driving.
Mm-hmm.
So you're eating, you're on the phone, you're doing all sorts of stuff, you're playing with the dog, you're
brought
shaving.
Your children somewhere.
The one that, I mean, just a couple days ago, there was a woman who was stopped because she was breastfeeding and driving at the same time. So there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Northbrook-based Allstate seems to be on the forefront of this. These sensors, by the way, are not just looking at your car and you driving. They're looking at the other cars around you. Mm-hmm. So they're collecting data also. This is a very interesting play. And I think the way this is going to ultimately play out, let's just go through the future a little bit, is there's going to be major discounts to people who are willing to be under this type of review constantly.
If you let us watch you, we will give you the discount.
So I'm going to use an example. Let's just say that normally your insurance for driving for 6 months is $1,000. You can do this now for $400 if you'll let us monitor you all the time. And you may say that's worth it. And someone may say it's not worth it because if you're a NASCAR driver, you like to drive fast. That's going to be a question. But eventually, maybe this is the play that will work to get the driverless car.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely, in my mind, a middle ground between this distracted driving epidemic that we have and the driverless car. This is a middle path. Distracted driving is a problem. There's no question about it. The National Highway Safety Administration says that distracted driving is 6 times more dangerous than drunk driving. It is a huge problem.
But when you say epidemic, we've got to be very clear on this. So that, words have meaning. Epidemic suggests, like, you know, wiping out mankind. I don't think we're on that level. I think that there are distracted drivers, and those distracted drivers can be a real issue. And a good example this week was the kid who was, I guess, 20 years old or whatever, who ran into a bus that was stopped, a school bus, a big yellow school bus.
Because he was not paying attention to the road.
Well, you know, he could have been doing anything. He could have been texting.
But he wasn't drinking.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is that's a real issue.
Yeah, it really is.
And the other thing that came out of that story, by the way, is he didn't have insurance. So my question immediately was, do they let him drive away from that? I don't know. The idea that your car is being monitored all the time because they're monitoring you.
For your safety. Scary, isn't it?
Well, you've got to determine whether that's reasonable or not. Mm-hmm. The good thing right now is there's other companies, but if all companies jumped on board, what happens? What happens?
We need to know everything. We are the insurance company. New law permits North Dakota police drones to fire beanbag rounds from the sky.
All right, so this is only in North Dakota.
For now.
But somebody said this was okay. So I want you to think of some floating drone.
I named Arnold.
Flying around near you. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, shooting beanbags at you. They're not shooting guns right now.
Not yet.
They're shooting beanbags at you.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like some kind of violation of something.
It seems like either a violation of something or a really slippery slope where if a robot has the ability to throw something heavy at me, how heavy is the thing that it can throw?
Citizen Fodor, return to your home.
Yeah. We get to RoboCop really quick.
I'd
buy that for a dollar.
Now, let's just say that there's some hostage situation and you fly a drone in there and you're able to see through cameras the person and knock them out, or whatever you're going to do. Okay, but what's to prevent that from being used elsewhere?
What's to prevent somebody from purchasing that robot and them not being the law enforcement?
And maybe they're not beanbags at that point. Maybe they're bullets. Yeah, you know?
Really heavy bullets.
Or that's right. Or it could be anything. Think of anything heavy.
It's something that we need to keep an eye on. I agree with you on that.
Strange that it would pass.
That's why Ars Technica exists.
And by the way, they're arguing that they're beanbags because they're non-lethal.
Enough people have been hurt by beanbag guns in the past. They are still a projectile being thrown at you.
We're going to play dodgeball later on.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Next story is even scarier, Chip. You found some scary stories this week.
That's what I know for you.
Oh, man.
Halloween's coming. It's only a couple months away.
This one talks about how you have internet traffic going through all sorts of countries, and somebody has created a system that you can choose the countries that you don't trust, and your internet traffic doesn't go through those countries.
And that seems like a very interesting thing. When you think of the World Wide Web, you send your information out, it arrives where it needs to arrive. But you don't know where it goes through to get to that point. Okay. And does it go through North Korea? Does it go through China? Does it go through Russia? Does it go through some group, bad group somewhere that's doing something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if you could do, you could direct where it not to go. So it will always go through areas that you trust. And if you're a company, you got company secrets, you're a government, maybe you have government secrets. If you're an area trying to secure information that you don't want everybody to have, maybe you want to go through areas that have more security four-year data than other places. So it's Alibi Routing System. So very interesting. I'm very glad that this is the type of technology that we can probably agree to.
I think that the people who are concerned about security look into things like this. Obviously, the general consumer like us, we hope that our security is good. We trust the people who write our software. We have to.
Sure.
Just like we have to trust the people who make our food. We have to trust somebody. And we hope that those people who are worried about security look into things like this.
Well, maybe if you're a big bank, you don't want to have your stuff going through an area that where they steal stuff. You know, and that's just that, you know, there's only so much you can do to protect that data. And this may be one of the latest of the security ways of doing it.
All right, so let's get to a nice story about big data.
Oh, let's get to a great one.
Sometimes big data can be good. It can be useful. It can be helpful. You found a story where a company is using Spotify to measure the popularity of older music.
Sure. Have you ever sat down and you've wondered, you know, why a song has lasting ability, I guess the ability to last over the ages?
You mean like 20 years later they use it for a commercial and I turn to my children and go, oh, I love that song, and they go, from a commercial? Yeah.
Oh, what was the song my daughter was singing the other day? First of all, she liked the Prince from Bel-Air song.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And the one that Dish is using right now is This Is How We Do It.
Okay.
Okay, so my daughter was singing that song, This Is How We Do It. So she's singing this this song, and you can definitely see that this is hitting her.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're dealing with humans, what you typically can do is go through and find these deep cuts, mm-hmm. these cuts that you went into, and you go, oh, yeah, that was a great song, and maybe it brings back pleasurable moments and stuff like that. When we're looking at big data, we're just looking at, this is the one that Steve plays all the time when he's working out. Or this is the one that your neighbor is listening to all the time. They tell me they don't like the Backstreet Boys, but they listen to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found by looking at a lot of this data is that you guys like a lot of rap music.
Hmm.
And there's certain songs that if we look at, you know, 10 years ago, these were the 15 or 50 greatest songs of that time. You know, they listed the most popular songs. Many of those don't have any lasting ability. It's the other stuff that's popping up, and particularly rap music. And what did they found? They found Backstreet's No Diggity was like the most popular, not by a little bit, by a lot. Like this song you guys listen to all the time.
Wow. How interesting. Big data can be interesting. We can find out things that make us better people using big data. Some of it's scary. Some of the concept of big data is frightening and 1984 style, but things like this are very interesting.
Well, I think what ends up happening is that all of a sudden we're going to have to be much more comfortable with, you know, you say you don't do this, but yeah, we kind of know you do.
Mm-hmm. The insurance company.
Well, you know, you say you don't speed, but I'm looking at this and you're always going, you know, 63 miles an hour in the 50 mile an hour zone. What's going on?
Yeah.
Or maybe it also works in another way. Maybe they determine that 55 miles an hour is not the right speed limit, that really 84 miles an hour is the right speed limit because everybody's traveling that.
Maybe.
And all the accidents happen with people going 55 miles an hour. You know, we don't, I mean, I'm just throwing those out there. But
big data.
But data could show that.
Speaking of big data, there's a lot of taxi cabs in New York City. Taxi cabs, if you look down the street in New York City, you see a sea of yellow.
Many people get by around in taxis.
New York City's taxi industry insiders made themselves an app to compete with Uber. They have an app to get one of those cabs for you.
How wonderful. So this is the positive relationship between having competition and having, you know, things that are easy for the consumer to use.
Right.
They have an app that you press a button and a cab comes to you, like Uber.
Yeah.
This is why competition's good.
Our local cab company has this. It's really nice. You have an app, you press the button, and literally a car comes to you. Again, this is another one of those fill-in times between now and the self-driving car. Mm-hmm. I think that's how the self-driving car is going to work. Nobody's going to have a car.
That possibly could happen. I think the other story of this is the medallions that they bought. for these New York City cabs, they've dropped in half as far as the value of them.
Mm-hmm.
So at one time, there was this very closed system. Now, there is a very open, through competition,
mm-hmm.
through forced competition,
yep.
we have an open competition for consumers. You only win
That's
when
right.
the competition's great.
That's right. Speaking of competition, we are in the middle of all the fights between all of the personal assistants. We've got Siri and Cortana and Google Now. Facebook is jumping into that fight, and they are launching something called M. It is the most interesting combination of both an automated system and then a way to kick your query up into a human to answer if the computer can't answer it for you.
And that seems like a very natural way of doing things, because Siri, as much as I use her and feel that she is dumb as dirt at times, doesn't always get what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying, and you recognize you're talking to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And Google Now, you basically press that and you talk to Google Now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Google Now gets it. But the ability to have it be popped up to a human,
mm-hmm.
like I'm looking for a restaurant. I know it's around here. It's a Chinese restaurant. And all of a sudden, Siri can't pull it up, or Cortana can't pull it up, or Google Now doesn't know what you're talking to. Those are the type of things that get elevated, and all of a sudden, it's a Thai restaurant is what you're thinking about,
mm-hmm.
and it's around the corner. You were thinking Chinese, it's a Thai restaurant.
It's a great concept. It's what most businesses do. If you make a phone call right now to most businesses, you get an automated system first.
Mm-hmm.
It screens your call. It asks you a few questions. Maybe you get the answer that you need and you hang up. But sometimes you don't get the answer you need, and then a human picks up.
Sure. And, you know, one of the interesting parts about this is that by the time you get through that maze to get to a customer service rep, there's a cost to that, and I can't remember what it is, but a phone call could be $50 by the time they get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just throwing that number out. I can't remember what it was from many years ago. Could be more. Could be less. But the point is there's a cost to that. So Facebook is basically saying, we're going to pick up that cost
mm-hmm.
if you will use the service. And obviously, because
Facebook's really good at that.
They want to know a lot about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not any different than Allstate wants to know about you.
Yeah.
Well, the name M, by the way, reminds me of James Bond.
Yeah, there is that quality of the boss lady who's in charge, who knows all and sees all. Even when you don't think she's watching, she's paying attention.
Well, and we should mention also, these services are all fantastically awesome in the sense that they are the future, but they still are so far behind of what they will be in the future.
Yeah, this is still the beginning of all of this, no doubt. We've had some issue the last few months with the idea of videos auto-playing on all of our services. Twitter now has an autoplay. Facebook has an autoplay. And Google Chrome is working on a way to silence those annoying autoplaying videos.
All right, so let's go back about 15 years ago. You would go to like a GeoCities site, and down at the bottom, there'd be this music playing. There's like, beep, beep, beep,
oh,
beep,
the
beep,
auto-playing music on a website drove me nuts.
And, you know, the service wasn't fast enough to get everything up and running, and you were trying to find out where it is so you can turn it off. Well, autoplay is like this generation's version of that.
And
all of a sudden, you got music playing from somewhere, mm-hmm. you got a video playing from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's using computer resources.
Yeah, that's where we're having an issue now, is not with the speed of the download, but with the data. You are pulling data that I didn't really authorize you to pull.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's usually, well, I shouldn't say many places you can go. News sites and stuff like that are notorious for that.
Mm-hmm.
But many times you can't even turn them off. So now, and this is the way you would want it to be, you have to press play. And that's where Chrome is going to take that out. Great for us. We win again.
Yeah, I've got all mine set to, I want to be able to press play on Twitter and Facebook and all those. There
mm-hmm.
are settings for all those, but it's nice of Chrome to take care of that for us as well. This week, oh, Chip, I'm rubbing my hands. I'm excited already.
Steve's wearing his Star Wars shirt.
I am wearing a Star Wars shirt. I am sure that I could wear a Star Wars shirt every day of the week.
You could?
I've got at least seven of them up there.
Oh, my.
I also have more than seven Doctor Who shirts, so I have to think every morning, should I wear a Star Wars shirt or should I wear a Doctor Who shirt? This Friday is Force Friday, Chip. September 4th, you can go to your local retailer and pick up as many pieces of plastic that have to do with Star Wars as you want. They're releasing all the new toys from the new Force Awakens movie this Friday.
Lucasfilm and Disney have been incredibly effective
at getting our money.
Well, and the point I'm getting to is that everything becomes, it's an event. All right. Mm-hmm. The toys aren't just going to come in over the next 3 or 4 months. No, we'll have a launch event
around the world. 18 hours, 15 cities, 12 countries. This is enormous.
And they say a New Year's Eve style celebration. Can you imagine? There's enough people who have, you know, Star Wars becomes important enough that we're going to have an event, a New Year's Eve style celebration.
For the toys, not even for the movie, not for the soundtrack, for the toys.
And I'm sure you've seen the people who collect these toys. There's people who have warehouses,
mm-hmm.
just monster places. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what was the 40-year-old virgin? That was his whole house, was a toy museum.
Yeah, I have my collection of toys and autographs and things. I do collect some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not going to look at these toys. I don't want these toys to spoil the story of this new Star Wars. I'm so excited about the new Star Wars that I'm not going to look at these products.
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that something?
There you go. You want to keep a little bit of mystery in your life.
I do. I'm so excited about the new Star Wars. That's why I am watching the old Star Wars. Speaking of Star Wars, there's a really wonderful story that you found about a little girl who was being bullied for liking Star Wars, and she got herself a set of Stormtrooper armor, kind of like the 501st walks around with, and she was so able to live the way that she wanted to with this armor, and then she grew out of it and she handed it down to another little girl. This is a great story.
Well, the story was a little girl was bullied because she liked Star Wars. And, you know, kids kind of gravitate to what they want to gravitate. We have a neighbor who grew up, and she loved Spider-Man. And she loved Peter Parker, and she loved Gwen Stacy, and she loved Spider-Man. She was just a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when we typically think of little girls, we would think maybe Barbie or something, which right. my girls liked.
Okay.
Well, this girl liked Star Wars, and that's great. Because that's great. There's plenty of girl Star Wars stuff, and there's plenty of just Star Wars
and
stuff.
And there's going to be so much more with the new movie.
But, you know, a lot of this stuff is gender neutral also.
Yes.
We tend to associate it with boys or girls, but it's gender neutral. This girl was being bullied. And if we go back in time, that's where this came in. There was another girl that was bullied. And the 501st.
It was the 501st? Okay.
Yes, they found out about it.
Okay.
They had their real Star Wars armor, their Stormtrooper armor, mm-hmm. created for this little girl.
Nice.
And the little girl put it on, and she was part of the 501st.
I love the 501st. They do some great things.
So, you know, if you have a parade or something, you have like, 50 Stormtroopers walking mm-hmm. down in formation.
It's probably the 501st.
Oh, how wonderful.
If you have Star Wars Day at your baseball park, it's probably the 501st.
Well, as like many young girls, they grow, and they grew out of it. And she found another girl in Virginia that had was being bullied. Anyway, she sent the armor off to her.
That's awesome.
Anyway, the armor was then sent to this girl after she grew out of it. So all of a sudden, this is the third generation child that's wearing this armor. Anyway, it's a great story. It's a great story.
There's nothing negative in this story. That's all positive. There's so many wonderful people who can think about the needs of others before themselves, and this is a great story.
And December 13th
mm-hmm.
is the Star Wars Anti-Bullying Day.
Isn't that interesting? Star Wars Anti-Bullying Day. I'm not sure that there's a Spider-Man Anti-Bullying Day for the little girl in your neighborhood, but it just
we acknowledge that these are people, and it's okay to be a fan. Now that geek is so in, it's so okay to be a fan. I can walk the streets and I'm fine.
Well, I think in the old days, you went to college, and all of a sudden, all right, so you grew up with your friends, but you went to college, and all of a sudden, you associated with a whole bunch of people who had similar interests to you.
Mm-hmm.
You liked Doctor Who. All of a sudden, you didn't have the one person in school that liked Doctor Who. You had like a whole group of 50 of you that you liked. Well, that's pretty nice to be able to find a group. With YouTube, with Instagram, with Twitter,
and the World Wide Web in general,
you can grab a group of people that share the same interests as you, and you do not have to be with them at all. In fact, my daughter has a whole group of friends who she sees only at concerts.
Mm-hmm.
They're from all over the Midwest, and they show up, and they all know each other. They've been, you know, high-fiving each other all, you know, year. But they just show up to go see this band because they all like this one band.
Yeah, we are the same way with podcasting. We have our group of podcasting friends, and we might see them at a convention here and there. We didn't go to Nerdtacular in Utah, but maybe next year we'll make it to Nerdtacular. But our group of friends is on the World Wide Web.
Well, it just shows the power of the information and what a wonderful time it is to be alive today. And these little stories like this, where people really can not just make a difference, go above and beyond and just blow people's minds.
It's a great story.
Oh, good stuff.
I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week. Can we come back?
Yeah, but we'll be under a bunch of Star Wars toys. If you need more information, you can always give us a call. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. You can go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. Give us an email at toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And I added us to the Blueberry page.
All right. Blueberry page.
I did not say blueberry. I said Blueberry. B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, Blueberry. I just love saying it. And if you need more news, we have our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. You can go to every day and find out the latest and greatest. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.